Join us for Drafts and Drafts, Tuesday, April 25th at the Landing in Liberty, starting at 6:30. KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty, always live on the free Odyssey app.
This has been a presentation of Odyssey Sports. For even more coverage of your team, download the free Odyssey app and listen to your favorite stations, shows, and podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
Yeah, here I am, woof. How about that one, ladies and gentlemen? 11-2, the final score. Mercifully, it's over. Royals just beat down deep in the heart of Texas. It's all bad tonight. There is no silver lining. There is no good news. It's just another loss. The eighth loss in the first 11 games this season. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. That's also the text line number, the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line, if you want to get in that way. Can't find the right words? Well, take your time, send us a text. 913-586-7610. But all bad. Just a bad game. We'll hear from Matt Cotrero coming up in a bit. But there's just nothing good to say about this game. Every single facet was below average. Average at best. Right, Zach Greinke was average at best. Zach Greinke did what we asked him to do. Give me five innings and a chance to win. Zach Greinke goes five innings, gives up three earned runs. Okay, so Zach Greinke did his job. So, okay, let me rescind that. Every facet was average at best. Zach Greinke, of course, being best. But offensively, more of the same. Two runs total. Royals now down to 2.6 runs per game. That's by far the worst mark in Major League Baseball. They go 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position tonight. As a matter of fact, there was a stretch. If you missed the game, oh boy. There was a stretch where everyone struck out. Consecutively. Nine up, nine down, punch out, punch out, punch out. Do that nine times. Nine straight strikeouts for Andrew Heaney, a new American League record. Well, this is why you show up to the ballpark, right? You show up to the ballpark because you might see something that's never been done before, that is historic. Unfortunately, tonight it goes against the boys in blue. Andrew Heaney, his first 10 outs recorded were via the strikeouts. And if I could get away from this disaster of a ball game for a moment. If you were listening to the On Deck Show earlier today, we have a new segment. If you've listened to the On Deck Show at any point this season, we have a new segment called The Double Play. And a baseball pun, a gambling pun. We give you our top two plays for that night's Royals game. I give you a bet I would make, and a member of the 610 Sports Radio team gives you a bet that they would make. Now, my bets, plural, one of them cashed. So overall, you're making money if you continue to listen to your boy Vern. I've almost multiplied your money by seven since opening day. Cody Tapp was our special guest on the On Deck Show. His debut on the On Deck Show, his debut giving you gambling picks. And Cody knows baseball. Cody used to host this very show. Cody is one of the more knowledgeable baseball fans in town, and his advice was take the under on Andrew Heaney's strikeouts. The total was 6.5. So long as Andrew Heaney strikes out six or fewer Royals, you're going to cash in courtesy of Cody Tapp. Well, I'll reiterate, The first 10 outs recorded by Andrew Heaney tonight were via strikeout. So, boy, just a disastrous night for the boys on the field. A disastrous night for Cody Tapp. A disastrous night for anyone that tailed Cody Tapp in that bet. But we could talk more about the game if you want. The defense gifted Texas a run thanks to a Bobby Witt Jr. error in the third. The pitching staff gifted Texas four runs via walks, all of them courtesy of Dylan Coleman, who I would expect to see tag out and give his locker to Josh Staumont, at least for a while. But the Royals were handing gifts out left and right. Defensively on the mound, offensively unable to cash in. I mentioned 0 for 7 with runners in scoring position. Do you guys have an answer for this offense? Do you see what ails this offense? If so, let me know. 913-586-7610. Is it pressing? Is it they're shuffling the lineup too much? Why isn't MJ Melendez an everyday player? Well, he caught yesterday. Well, maybe he shouldn't be a catcher. Maybe if you're paying Salvador Perez $20 million, he should earn it by catching just about every single day. Get a real backup catcher and allow MJ Melendez's bat to stay in the lineup. Now, you got a lefty on the hill. You're really just playing the numbers. I know. I understand that the lefties were on the bench tonight, but boy, Maybe that's it. Maybe you're shuffling the lineup too much, playing the numbers too much. Maybe it's talent. Is that it? Does this all go back to my theme for the season in the campfire? The question of whether or not they've surrounded this group of Brady Singer and Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr., have they surrounded them with enough talent? Is that what this all boils down to? What do you see as the issue with the offense? Phone lines and the text line are there for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. A happy birthday to Jonathan Pope. The big 4-0 coming down the pike. Just coming back from Augusta, Georgia. Appreciate you listening. I'd love your ideas. You know the game. Text in. Don't text me personally. Hit up the text line. 913-586-7610. Let's dig in. What's the issue with this offense? A grand total of 29 runs through the first 11 games. Speaking of 11, that's the amount of runs allowed tonight by Royals pitching and defense. Royals get bludgeoned down south by the Rangers. 11-2 is the final score. The record is now 3-8. Phone lines are open for you. Again, that number, 913-586-7610. We get to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's postgame show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
11-2, the final score. Royals beat down by the Texas Rangers in the first of this three-game series. Game two comes your way Tuesday night, 7:05 for the first pitch. Jordan Lyles squares off with Jacob DeGrom as a pair of free agent signings. Each team's big offseason free agent signing on the Hill tomorrow. Jordan Lyles, Jacob DeGrom. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show starting at 6 o'clock. On the mound tonight for the Royals was Zach Greinke. He falls to 0-3 on the season despite five innings of three-run baseball. Didn't get helped by his defense there in the third as Bobby Witt Jr. makes his first error of the season. One walk from Greinke, three strikeouts. He takes the L, as I mentioned. It's his 79th loss as a Royal. That's fifth most in franchise history. That loss tonight breaks a tie that Greinke found himself in. Breaks a tie with Larry Gura and Brett Saberhagen. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. Dylan Coleman does not factor in the decision, but that is reflective of why the win-loss statistic is often flawed, or rather, is often misleading. Dylan Coleman deserved the L. Coleman comes in the bottom of the sixth inning with the Royals trailing 4-1. To be honest with you, I would not have brought Greinke back out for the fifth. He was at 80 pitches, and Corey Seager was coming to the dish. Seager, who hit a solo bomb in the first inning, it was his fourth career home run off of Zach Greinke. I mean, he's got terrific numbers against the future Hall of Famer. So he was due to lead off the fifth. I don't want to see him back out there, but Matt Cutrero trots him out, and Greinke goes through the 2-3-4 hitters of the Rangers on just 9 pitches. So Greinke gets the job done. Again, does his job tonight. 5 innings of 3 earned run baseball. Hands a deficit to the bullpen, sure, but I only ask Zach Greinke for 5 innings and a chance to win. He did that. The Royals' offense is the culprit tonight, even more so than Dylan Coleman. The Royals' offense needs to pick up the pitching here and there. They've done it once this season. Maybe Brady Singer, maybe you picked up Brady Singer on Saturday with the offense, and you dropped 9 back on Monday in your first win of the season, a week ago, but pitching wasn't porous in that game against Toronto. So yeah, the offense has carried the team once, has been the hero once, and that was Salvador Perez, who we all have become accustomed to see play the hero. It's not shocking when Salvi puts the team and the offense on his back. He's been doing it for years around here. So for as much attention as Dylan Coleman's going to get, as he's now allowed a run in 3 of his 5 appearances this season, has 7 walks to just 5 strikeouts, and again, walks the first 2 batters that he faces in the 6th inning, right out of the gate. Greinke, job done. Job well done. But they hand it off to the bullpen, a 3-run deficit, and immediately Dylan Coleman walks the first 2 batters that he faces. Now, we've all been listening to Denny Matthews long enough to know that one of them is coming across to score, likely 2. They both did. And 5 other people did as well in that 7-run 6th inning. Dylan Coleman goes walk, walk, strikeout, RBI double, 2-run single, gets Marcus Semien to pop out to first base, but then walks Corey Seager, walks Nathaniel Lowe, gets pulled from the game. Jose Kwas comes in and gives up a grand slam on the 3rd pitch that he throws Adolis Garcia. And I had nothing bad to say about Jose Kwas. Yes, he gave up the grand slam, but that was a fine pitch. Nothing wrong with that pitch from Jose Kwas. That was in, that was down, that was nowhere near the strike zone. That was just a strong, strong man. Adolis Garcia destroyed that bad boy. 413 feet, and then it's ball game. Then it's 11-1. It's ball game after Dylan Coleman with those 4 walks, recording just 2 outs. So Zach Greinke did his job, the bullpen, but more so the offense, let him down once again as the Royals fall 11-2. Let's hear what Matt Cutrero had to say about Zach Greinke and this 11-2 loss on Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Well, I mean, he had his good command. It looked like he threw a ton of strikes. It's a good hitting team, so he was having to work hard to get the outs. I think it was the 3rd inning, got really extended there, almost 30-pitch inning. But he gave us a chance to win. I mean, he had the kind of a strange inning with that squibber bunt and the misplayed ball, tacked some pitches on, but he gave us a chance.
What was the challenge with Andrew Haney tonight, and were you aware that the consecutive strikeouts there between the 1st and 4th?
Yeah, I was definitely aware of it. Challenge is he's got an interesting delivery. The low slot carry guy. So the ball has that rising appearance to it, and it's tough to lay off. And he did a good job, to his credit, pitching at the top of the zone or just above.
And just Nate Eaton's going with him in the eighth inning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's never a fun situation to put a position player out there, but Nate has pitched before. And quite frankly, just want to get through the inning without having to use another guy out of the bullpen in a game like that.
Did you tell him to back off the velocity at all, or were you...
No, I said, don't try to throw it 100 miles an hour and throw it over the plate. And he listened to part of it, but he used to pitch, so you know he wants to use all of his stuff.
Team continues to struggle scoring runs. What can be done to? Do you think it's just a matter of time before they start to break out?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think there's been positive signs, hard hit balls, you know, some quality at bats. I mean, tonight we ran into a guy that was, like I said, really locating with his plus stuff. So it was a tough night for us. But overall, I think there are things that are coming positively.
What did you see from Coleman tonight?
Yes, just struggled with his command a little bit. You know, the pitch count got up there. You know, we had to play in there to try to save the run. Ground ball gets up the middle. But overall, it's just getting behind guys in the walks.
What's the key for him to fix that, since that's been something that's, you know, he's worked on in the past?
Yeah, I know. I mean, they're working on a little bit of a mechanical thing, you know, with his lower half. So I think that's something that's, you know, obviously he wants that to come quicker than it is. And the other thing is just the intent of, it's easier said than done, of, you know, working ahead and throwing it over the plate. And he's obviously trying to do that, and it hasn't been happening as easily as we'd like.
Quickly, do you flush this one and move on to the next?
Right away, tomorrow. You know, sometimes a wise baseball man said it's better to get beat like that on both sides of the ball than you can just flush the whole thing and get going.
11-2, the final score. Matt Cotrero there as his ball club falls to 3-8 on the season. Yeah, Nate Eaton, the good is he picked up his first hit of the season, snapping a personal 0-for-15. He singles with one out in the fifth inning. That's the good. I get no joy watching a position player pitch, even if he's good. Nate Eaton, who was once told you got no chance of hitting in the big leagues, you better become a pitcher. He took that advice, worked on pitching, and you could see that. As Eaton pitches the eighth inning, his big league debut on the mound, he strikes out Adolis Garcia. Yes, the same guy that hit the 413-foot grand slam just two innings earlier. Nate Eaton sitting 92-94 with his fastball. You heard what Q had to say about dialing that back. But competitors, ball players, they never listen. 90% of the time they're going out there to try and light up the radar gun, impress their buddies, and strike out the big leaguer that's standing in the box. Also, Q mentioned Zach Greinke, who did pitch well, who did, let me put it this way, get the job done, do his job, five innings and a chance to win. Gives up that home run to Corey Seager in the first, gives up a home run to Jonah Heim in the fourth. The homer to Heim was what, an 89-mile-per-hour changeup, fastball, whatever Greinke calls it, up and out over the plate. Heim did not miss that bad boy. Okay, so two solo home runs, you know, that's fine. The other two runs that Zach Greinke was on the mound as they came across came in the third inning, and that's just tough luck. Leadoff double from the number nine hitter, as it was a half-hearted check swing, and it just shot up from a left-handed hitter. Swing and bunt, almost. And it just shoots up the third base line as Matt Duffy, the Royals' third baseman, was shifted. So he's almost more towards where the shortstop would set up. So that little half-hearted half-swing from Jankowski shoots up the third base line, and it's a leadoff double. Then Bobby misplays a ground ball, two on and nobody out. Corey Seager hits a ground ball back to Zach Greinke, but it bounces, it caroms off of his glove. Everybody's safe. A run comes in to score. It was just a very unfortunate frame for Zach Greinke and the Royals defense, but Greinke, nonetheless, again, he takes the loss. He's now 0-3 on the season. All right, let's get to the text line. The Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Anthony in Blue Springs, he writes in, Vern, just a point to ponder. The Royals don't have an identity right now. What do they do well? Yeah, appreciate you listening, Anthony. What do they do well? Well, statistically, they pitch well, right, from their rotation. If you ask the Royals organization, what's your strength? I think they'll point to the bullpen. So that's a good start that the numbers say right now the strength is the rotation. The team feels the strength is the bullpen. It's always nice when you're led by your pitching. I believe the team needs to be led by its offense. If they're going to do anything this year, your stars have to lead the way, and your stars are in the lineup. But to answer your question, Anthony, 11 games in, they don't do anything well other than starting pitching. Their starting pitchers always give them a chance. Through 11 games, their starting pitching always gives them a chance. That's terrific. You know, you say that out loud. Look, if your identity right now is your starting pitching always gives you a chance, that's fantastic. But does anyone believe that it's going to continue? Do you believe it's going to continue? If you say yes, well then, like I mentioned earlier today on the On Deck Show, man, don't worry about it. Don't worry about the offense. I understand. Lowest runs per game in all of Major League Baseball. I get it. But if the identity of this team is going to be your starter gives you a chance every time he takes the hill, well, you're going to be fine. The offense will turn it around. So hopefully that continues. That would be the identity of the team through 11 games. I understand you've lost 8 of the 11, but to answer your question, there you go. Rally Mantis wants Nate Eaton to win the Cy Young. Okay. Scott in Phoenix says Greinke was able to get through 5, not as sharp as he's been. Once again, he doesn't receive any run support. This was not Dylan Coleman's best night, so it was a perfect recipe for a blowout loss. Let's hope they can get off the mat tomorrow and get out of this April hole that they find themselves digging once again. That's Scott in Phoenix. Yes, it is a very familiar hole that we all find ourselves in April as Royals fans. It's kind of comfortable now. I hate how comfortable it is, but I've been through it quite a bit. Raj in the Ozarks points out that there's no joy in Mudville tonight. From the 913, Vern, if Paul Hoover says we go as the top of the order goes, talking about Witt, MJ, Salvi, Vinny, well then why is MJ still not hitting lefties? Is it just a day off? Well, I didn't have a chance to talk with Matt Cotrero today, so I can't give you a confident response, but it would, I think, be fair to guess that yes, it is a day off, knowing that MJ was the catcher yesterday. MJ's last off day was last Tuesday. You got a lefty on the hill. I think it all just lines up for a day off for MJ Melendez. But like I said earlier, I even though he looked really good behind the dish yesterday, I still want him as an outfielder. I want him to wave goodbye to being a catcher, to be quite honest with you. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll look foolish down the line. But I think MJ Melendez is going to stay in the big leagues because of his bat. I think that's the reason why he possibly has star potential is because of that bat. So let's highlight that bat. Let's take a lot off his plate. That's what I would do. Text line 913-586-7610 from the 918. Vern, why is Nate Eaton better than some of the current relievers in our bullpen? Is he? Okay, maybe you would say Dylan Coleman after this performance tonight. Okay. Nate Eaton hopefully can lift his arm tomorrow. Again, the guy threw 22 pitches and was going max effort. There's no way his arm was ready for that. So to answer your question, to be serious about it, because he is, I don't believe, prepared as you want him to pitch every 3 or 4 days out of the bullpen. Appreciate it. Text line remains open. We'll get back to your thoughts coming up in a moment. The phone line is there as well. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Nate Eaton picks up his first hit of the season and strikes out a batter from the mound for the first time in his career. So a very eventful night for Nate Eaton. Zach Greinke takes the loss, but the Royals' starting rotation with a ERA this season through 11 games, giving you more than 5 1/3 innings on average, this collection of Royal starters has posted an ERA of 3.47. But added up, it's still a 3-8 record. It's still an 11-2 loss to the Texas Rangers, and it's still Jordan Lyles taking the hill tomorrow against Jacob DeGrom. Royals offense has been punchless for a majority of these first 11 games, and now Jacob DeGrom waits in the wings. Quick timeout. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
And we'll get back to the text line coming up in a moment. Royals lose the opener of this three-game series in Arlington, 11-2, the final score. Man, I've gone this entire show and haven't mentioned Hunter Dozier. Shame on me. Congratulations, Hunter Dozier, going deep for the first time this season. Dozier jumping a 2-1 fastball in the seventh inning. A fastball up in the zone. He didn't miss it. 408 feet over the left field wall. Cut the deficit to 9. That's where it would stay. Again, the final score, 11-2. Text line is open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. That home run from Dozier, career home run number 72. He's now 2 back of his good buddy Whit Merrifield for 21st on the franchise's all-time home run list. Well, a guy that moved up to 5th place all-time in the franchise's list of losses also moved into 7th place all-time on the franchise's list of innings pitched. His name is the great Zach Greinke. He had this to say following 5 innings, 3 runs on 6 hits, 1 walk and 3 strikeouts. This audio courtesy of Bally Sports Kansas City.
Wasn't the sharpest, but really it didn't, while not being like super sharp, there wasn't a ton of mistakes made, but 2 big mistakes were to Heim and Seager, and they crushed both of them, and just wasn't able to strike out guys when I needed to get some strikeouts, and so Jankowski got a base hit on that. I guess a lot of their damage was 2 strikes, and just wasn't the sharpest.
Faced Seager a lot, and he obviously has had some success against you. How would you assess kind of that?
I think he's hit everything off me too. I've tried a lot of different things. Today was just a really bad pitch, and I should have caught the ball the next at bat, and it would have been a double play. That would have been really nice, and it was easy. But so today, against him, pitched all right. Besides that, that changeup he hit.
All right. So if Greinke's gonna say that he needs to make the play there in the third inning, okay. Look, if he's holding himself to that standard, I certainly can get with that. What was the exit, Velo? I thought it was just hit hard. Not the home run. The home run was 105 miles per hour off of the bat. Now, that single, yeah, that was 73 miles per hour. Greinke makes that play. Yeah, possibly it's a double play. Maybe. If it was a double play, the first out recorded would have been just erasing an out. Just erasing a base runner that was there because of a Bobby Witt Jr. error. Always nice to hear from Zach Greinke. Royals lose 11-2. Greinke falls to 0-3 on the season. Dylan Coleman, we went over his 4 walks, 6 runs, 6th inning. Nate Eaton comes in, throws his first big league frame. And Jose Kwas, look, again, I understand he gave up the grand slam to Adolis Garcia. But Jose Kwas, I would say, is what? Number 4, number 5 on the power ranking of Royals relievers currently. Barlow, Chapman, Clark, Kwas. I think that's how I'd stack it up. How about you? 913-586-7610. A few more from the text line. As I ask you, what is the issue with the offense? Is it pressing? Is the lineup changing too often? Is there just a lack of talent? Is this just who they are? What is it? What's the cure? 913-586-7610. From the 913, Vern, the cure is get guys on, get them over, and get them in. Okay, well, that's easier said than done. And that's not really adding anything to the conversation. Another one from the 913. Guys get on, and their teammates so badly want to drive them in that they start chasing out of the zone instead of keeping the line moving. It's going to be tough, but the cure, Vern, is patience and success. Okay, so that's a text that's the complete opposite of the previous one. Yeah, that's sound logic. Well-reasoned. Appreciate it. From the 316, hey, Vern, Matt Cotrero is going to run out of excuses by May. Why doesn't he just say, my team sucks and I'm handcuffed with the players given to me? Well, you know why he doesn't say that. Furthermore, I think we all sense a certain length of leash that ownership has given this new regime. For as much as improvement is expected, John Sherman said, we hope to see that improvement in the win-loss record, there's just no way you have an offseason like the Royals just did, and Matt Cotrero or J.J. Piccolo are on any sort of a hot seat. There's just no way. Right? There's just no way ownership says, all right, you can spend $90 million, $100 million. You can bring in Jordan Lyles, Aroldis Chapman, some minor league free agents, and Ryan Yarbrough. Now I demand that you win. No. No. There's no reason for Q to say my team stinks, I'm handcuffed by talent, because they know that we're on this road for a while. We're in this for the long haul. The expectations are pretty low this season, even, in my opinion, from within the organization. The expectation is evaluation. Finding out, is Bobby Witt Jr. an everyday shortstop? Kyle Isbell in the outfield. Drew Waters when he returns. Chris Bubich and Daniel Lynch. Vinny Pasquantino at first base. MJ Melendez behind the dish. They want these questions answered by the end of the season. Evaluation has nothing to do with wins and losses, in my opinion. So no, Q's not going to say anything that silly because I don't believe that anybody in this organization is floored with what they're seeing. From the 816, Vern, instead of building them a new stadium, we could start building some batting cages. Okay. That's not bad. Joey in Grain Valley's giving some love to Jose Quas. I'm with you on that one, Joey. 913-586-7610. Let's head back inside the Royals clubhouse. Let's hear from Nate Eaton, who again picked up his first hit of the season and took the mound in the eighth inning. First time in his big league career, he served as the team's pitcher. He's sitting 92-94. What did he have to say to Bally Sports Kansas City afterward?
I want to say it's felt good, but it's obviously not a good situation to be in if I had to come in and pitch. Yeah, that's about all I got right there.
You mentioned maybe not throwing it very hard, but you seem to have some intent out there.
Yeah, it's just that's what I felt comfortable with, being able to throw strikes at. I didn't want to just go up there and kind of lob it the whole time. It kind of makes myself defenseless in a way.
When was the last time you threw from the mound?
Junior year of high school or college, so it was probably like May 20th of junior year of college.
Wow.
2018.
And how did it, I mean, did it feel natural to come back?
Yeah, it felt great. I obviously like take my throwing program pretty serious, just to kind of stay in tune with my outfield and infield like throwing mechanics, I guess. And so while I'm warming up, I still kind of warm up the same as I did when I was pitching.
Happy to see Nate Eaton get off the schneid offensively. Anything but happy watching him pitch. No knock on him. Yes, it was impressive for a position player, but that's not why anyone shows up to the ballpark. Few more from the text line. This is from our good friend Pam. Pam, who has been not pleased. Understandably so. They've lost 8 of 11 to start the season. But Pam writes in, Vern, the new manager and his staff have not had the chance to put together their own roster. Have not been a part of a draft in order to put together the type of team they have a vision for. Vern, these players are all Dayton Moore's guys. Given that, the reason for the offensive struggles has to be the talent. These guys have what they inherited to work with. After this year's draft, then we can make some better decisions as to whether or not this team has a true core. Pam, that's a terrific text. Appreciate you listening. Sure, yeah, all these guys are Dayton Moore's players. To a certain extent, it's not as if J.J. Piccolo and a majority of this front office weren't alongside Dayton Moore. Not that they signed off on every one of the draft picks or free agent signings. Of course not. Certainly ownership wouldn't sign off on a Hunter Dozier contract. I'm sure wasn't too pleased with the Salvador Perez contract. But I was actually making this point to a certain extent earlier today on the On Deck show. For as much as this team wants to commit to the numbers and to the model laid forth by Tampa and Cleveland, they are, to a certain extent, still shackled to the past when it comes to the Dozier contract, when it comes to the Salvador Perez contract, which takes up more than 20% of the team's payroll. If you're trying to win in the margins, having one guy take 20-plus percent of the salary really hinders your ability to massage the roster in the fashion that we see Tampa, Cleveland, and others do. So it's a good point, Pam. And I think it's a better point, not so much about the offense, but in the wait and see before you judge this coaching staff and this front office. In my opinion, I don't know how much you can take away from this season. If you want to judge this front office, I just don't know. I don't know how much you can take from these 162, because it's obvious that the front office wasn't given the green light to go for it this offseason. Here's an open checkbook. Go get me a winner. That was not the edict. Pam, thank you very much for the text message. From the 816, Vern, I got an idea. Maybe start swinging at first pitch fastballs that are coming at you right down the middle. Was that happening a lot tonight? First pitch pipe shots? Maybe. Hey, real quick, just kind of recapping my game notes, which as always are brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service. A lot of defensive gems tonight that are going to be underreported because the Royals lost, because the Royals pitching imploded in the sixth inning, because the Royals offense was a no-show again, 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. But defensively, Nate Eaton makes a nice sliding catch. Edward Olivares with a nice sliding catch in left field, a little basket catch from Ollie. Salvador Perez showcased that cannon of a right arm. That may have been his hardest throw of the season when he pounced on that swing and bunt from, was that Buddy Thompson? Whatever that Thompson's kid's first name is. Beautiful play by Salvador Perez. Even Jackie Bradley Jr. played that double from Nathaniel Lowe off the wall to get Corey Seager at the dish. Yeah, sure, a nice relay throw from Bobby Witt Jr., but I thought it was about JBJ. The way he played that double in the left center field gap and the strike that he threw to Bobby Witt Jr. to get that 8-6-2 play at the dish for the first out of that two-run third inning. So some nice moments defensively. Other than that, you know, the first run that the Royals scored was really a gift courtesy of Adolis Garcia and the error he made in right field. The Salvi just looped what would have been just a can of corn to right field. Garcia can't play it. Bobby Witt Jr. scores the first run of the game. And the Royals, yeah, found themselves up 1-0. And then 11 unanswered would come across to score. Outside of that, that's the game notes. We talked about Kwas. We gave you the full rundown on Zach Greinke's afternoon. So I guess it's time to turn the page, flush this bad boy, and get ready for tomorrow as a pair of right-handers square off Jordan Lyles and Jacob DeGrom. It's a 7:05 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock. That's game two tomorrow night. It wraps up Wednesday night with Brad Keller and Nate Evaldi. Again, the final score, Rangers 11, Royals 2. Boys look to get back on the winning side of things and earn, at worst, a split of this season-opening road trip. Game two tomorrow, 6 o'clock for the On Deck Show, 7:05 first pitch. Thanks to Jed Marshall for the help. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
You've been listening to Vern's Post.